inside the 10 o'clock hour on The Fan. I got two more hours. If you got the time, I'm here. 877-337-6666. The Knicks are about to come on. I'm going to watch that game. I didn't get to see the Rangers game, but clearly I didn't miss too much. And I don't know what channel the Devils were on. I couldn't find it. But good to see the Devils fighting for their season. Oh, never mind. The season's over. They're not making the playoffs. Islanders, hello? Do you want the wild card? Well, they lost 4-0. And yeah, we still got plenty to talk about, man. We're leaning into the baseball at this point. You just heard the update about Marcus Stroman. I will say this about Stroman before we get back to the calls on it. I understand that these pitchers are very particular, routine-oriented, superstitious. I mean, I think that's what drove Gerrit Cole to fly across the country to go see the specialists. And I think that Cole is such a pitching savant, and he knows, hey, I've been throwing like this for you. Like, you know, this might be Tommy John, or this might not be Tommy John. I need to go see the guy, Elitrotch or whatever. I need to go see the guy. So I'm not going to give Stroman a hard time about not taking the ball. I know I would take the ball, though, but I never was much of a pitcher. I played center field. As I got better with the glove and footwork, I was able to play some third base, but really center field. Never really pitched too much. I went to Little League Baseball camp. I hit a kid in the head, and I just was never right after that. 877-337-6666. Robertson, North Carolina on The Fan.
Keith, how are you, bro?
Good, good. Thanks for checking in.
You do a great job. Incredible job. I listened to The Score in Chicago, and they have nobody on their staff, no one who hosts the show that does the job you do. So you should be proud.
The Score in Chicago has had me on, and they'll probably have me on again, because whenever it's White Sox, Yankees, or Cubs, or even Nets, Bulls, I've been on there like two or three times, but I have no idea who hosts their shows. I don't even know who had me on their show.
But you do a good job. Listen, I was calling about Stroman. I started listening to you this week because I just wanted to have some updates on
Gerrit Cole.
On your pitcher, Gerrit Cole, yeah. And so when I heard today about Stroman not taking the ball on opening day, it was not a shock to me. I am not a Yankee fan. I do not like the Yankees whatsoever. But just giving a little notice out to Yankee fans. If he's your starting pitcher for opening day, or if he's in your top echelon of your rotation, look for a fourth or fifth place finish in the AL East. Here's the reason why. When he came to Chicago and he signed in 21, first thing he did was put out a tweet to Cub Nation saying, let's go, Chicago. Let's get Wrigley jumping again. Let's get Wrigley jumping. Let's get excitement into Wrigley. He was so excited to pitch at the Jewel, Wrigley Field. And Cub fans that I know, we were talking, what is he talking about bringing excitement to Wrigley Field?
It's always exciting.
We just won the World Series. We just won the World Series 4 years ago. You know, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Schwarber, Lester. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
We didn't need Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, he's a little out of touch. I've been there a bunch of times. Even when they weren't good, it's always lit.
Exactly. And we were looking at each other. And it didn't take long for Cub Nation to realize he was all about him. All about him. Pre-game, he's hopping around the outfield. He's going to the corner of the right field wall, sitting down praying. It was all about him. And I think it's not going to take long for Yankee fans to see that. And when he opted out of his contract, I think it was the greatest thing. I think it was Christmas Day for Jed Hoyer and the Cub organization. I think they couldn't have asked for a better gift. And like I said, if he's your opening day starter or your best option, I mean, it's not going to be a good year in the Bronx. And that's all I really have to say. I'm not a big fan of Marcus Stroman. He's a fraud. And I think that, you'll see that pretty soon.
Thanks for the call, Robert. But I can't really thank you for that. That doesn't really help my psyche. That gives me a little pause and some trepidation. Wrigley Field, they just came out with a list of the top ballparks. PNC Park in Pittsburgh was number one. If I had to put a top five together, Wrigley's in my top five, especially after they turned it into Theo World. Theo Epstein, what he did around there. Like, if you guys ever get to go to the Zachary Hotel, Hotel Zachary across the street from Wrigley, I stayed in there. It's a joke, like, in a good way. It's nice. And especially to, like, come out of there and go right into the ballpark And they have like a movie theater, a bowling alley. There's so many bars out there. The Cubby Bear. I could go on for days about Wrigley. Shout out to my boy Mike Bowling, who I was in the fan cave with 10 years ago and was telling me about what it was like to be a Cubs fan in Wrigley back before they won the World Series and what their bleachers are like. And I have some epic stories. I was there in the left field bleachers when Brett Gardner hit that home run to right field to beat them in 2017. That was one of the best games I ever saw live. And I bet like five people around me $20 that the Yankees would come back. And they spent the whole game in left field. We were in left field, actually, and Gardy hit the home run to right. I don't know if I just said that. But they spent the whole game dogging Brett Gardner in the outfield, saying he was bald and he didn't have an arm and he looked like a kid and he sucked. And he heard all of that and he paid him back. And, man, I had a fun night that night. That was good times. Wrigley is always lit. That's the thing about the Cubs. Go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. And they didn't win too much, but whenever they got a chance to fly that W flag, like, trust me, I've been to like seven or eight games out there. They didn't need Marcus Stroman to like revitalize the fan base. Their culture is intact. They are the A team in Chicago, to the White Sox being the B team. I just hope that this guy is locked in and ready to be about team. We and not me. It's not going to work here. And these fans, these Yankee fans, will see right through it if you're not all about yourself. I have given him a pass. I read the article. The headline makes it seem like his boss asked him to do something and he declined. But I really think, like I said, it is about routine, superstition, plan, him knowing himself, him already being, you know, in his mind that, hey, I'm opening up Yankee Stadium. But, like, I'm pitching game three against the Astros. I'm not changing course now because Cole is out of the lineup. I'm sticking to what the plan was. And the Yankees will have to adapt, and I believe Nestor Cortez is the man for the job. 877-337-6666. Let's get back to football conversations, man. I told you guys about the Commanders and what they've been doing, and I went through this last night with their moves. Adding Austin Eckler at running back, sneaky signing. Bobby Wagner at linebacker, sneaky signing. Marcus Mariota to back up whatever rookie they take or to start as they try and get that rookie ready, if that's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, or if they get sneaky and say, hey, Chicago, swap with us. We want Caleb Williams. He's from D.C. They also signed Zach Ertz. So they're bringing in these guys that are up there in their careers, but they're not completely washed yet. They've grabbed a couple Dallas Cowboys. Dante Fowler Jr., Tyler Biadasz. Dante Fowler Jr. is a defensive end. Tyler Biadasz is a center. Dorrance Armstrong from the Dallas Cowboys, a defensive end. Jeremy Chinn, a safety. Frankie Louvu, a linebacker. I already told you Brandon McManus earlier is going to be their kicker. Top pick out of Clemson some years back. Cleland Farrell comes over there from the 49ers. Jeremy Reeves, a safety, going over there. And I just look at Dan Quinn, who defaulted into this job as a head coach, didn't do a good job for the Dallas Cowboys on the way out, but defaulted into this job. Nick Allegretti, like, he's got some different guys over there, and they have draft capital. Look out for the Commanders, Giants fans. If the Giants are still worried about Saquon Barkley, they're not. I think the fans are, as we heard Saquon Barkley say what he had to say. But if the Giants are not ready to replace his production and the quarterback production and be able to score points and play defense, I think this is a huge draft for them if they're able to, I don't know, draft up and get a quarterback. Like, the Giants could rest on the fact that they could beat the Commanders. The Commanders are going to be a completely different-looking team next year. And the Eagles now have Saquon Barkley. Chris is in Seacliff, New York. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you?
Good, hanging out.
Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I like your style. You're very smooth and very approachable. I have to regress for a second because you mentioned Wrigley Field, which is basically a big bar with a baseball game.
Yeah, there's a lot of beers being drank. They do the beer cup snake. Like, some of the drunkest people you will find, as soon as they open that ballpark up, they start drinking, yeah, and they don't leave till it's over.
You don't even need to find your seats. You just walk around and you're like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, there's no security. It's very old. I mean, it's one of the last cathedrals.
Fun time. So as far as traveling with a toddler or a baby, and I know, but your son's about 9 months.
11 months yesterday, but yeah, so, you know, around that age.
So it's definitely a challenge, but here's the thing. When we were kids, right, and you're single, you're married without kids, and you're on a plane, you're going to spring break, it's like, hey, the kid's screaming in the back of you like that.
Yeah.
That was annoying. All right, here's the thing. As a father, I'm an elder father. I hear a baby crying on the plane. I just got off a plane the other day. It's soothing to me, so I have no problem with that. So travel with your baby. And if anybody gives you a hard time, tell them to screw off. So
I don't want the smoke. I don't want to deal with one human being saying, "Hey, can you get that kid to quiet down?" Like I can't even say it because I just know it'll set me off. Where I'll be like, "Listen, not for nothing. I'm not the guy to approach. Like, hey, can you get that kid to calm down? Like." Get out of my face.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so it's definitely a challenge. Moving forward, Saquon Barkley. Obviously, a lot of Giants fans, and I am one of them, are upset about the move. I'm just going to go to the fan, right? The place that you work at. Craig Carton, he moved. He went to another station. You know, do we hate him? I don't know.
No.
I like the guy.
I did say that Craig has shifted the complexion of WFAN three different times, leaving, coming back in, and then leaving again, as there are a lot of fans that talk about WFAN sucks now. What happened to WFAN? I'm like, hey, blame Craig.
No, and he did a great job reinventing himself 100%. You got to be proud. I'm proud of him.
I am, too. On a side note, getting to know Craig Carton and seeing what he's done in his life, his story is one of one, unique, and I'm happy for him over there at Fox, making the money he's making and doing what he's doing and bringing that to television. I hope him many years of success doing that show.
All right, very nice. I'm sorry because I was out of tune. I was working all day. What's going on with Cole? Is he out? Or what's the deal there?
He's out 1 to 2 months. He's not going to make his opening day start. He's getting reevaluated by the leading doctor for Tommy John surgery, and we all wait to hear more. We all wait to hear what the – okay, here it is. As I say that, Dr. Neil Eletrosh has agreed with Yankees team doctor that there is not a tear in Garrett Cole's UCL – and that he will not need surgery. So the timeline remains 1 to 2 months. That just broke 4 minutes ago.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, that's good news.
Good news, Yankee fans. Absolutely. No, yeah. Tommy John means he will be back this year. Thanks for the call and the advice, Chris. He will be back this year, and he's not compromised for next year. So let's hope that we shut him down now. And this is the movie. This is how the story starts, right? This is the roller coaster. Remember me getting off the roller coaster on July 17th? We're back on the roller coaster. Let's go for the ride. I already spiraled, right? I did the show Tuesday where I leaned into all my negative thoughts of, oh, no, Cole's going to get shut down. They're not going to sign another pitcher. These guys were hurt last year that are in the rotation. They're going to be hurt again. We're going to be watching, I don't know, Will Warren and Clayton Beter and Luis Gil pitch all season, and the Yankees are going to have an uphill battle. Well, let's pump our brakes just a little bit. Let's see what happens in a couple months. Rob is in Greenlawn. Rob, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you? Love the show. Lifelong Met fan. Can't stand the Yankees, but I am going to root for them hard this year because the kid down the block from me, you know him, Emmanuel Babari, got the job. He's going to be calling about 25 games this year.
Yeah,
so,
and you know
Emmanuel is really excited.
Good kid, deserving, worked hard, and is getting an opportunity of a lifetime. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So I never thought I'd find myself rooting for the Yankees, but this kid is going to have me rooting for the Yankees this year. So
good. Anyway,
I just wanted to mention, you sound like you're about to jump off the bridge with Cole, but, you know, when you think back to last year, you know, the ace going into last year for the Texas Rangers was DeGrom. He was both slated as number one. He went down, 3 weeks into the season, and where did they end up?
Yeah, they did what was necessary at the deadline, right? And they won the whole thing.
So why can't you guys? Why can't the Yankees?
Because Chris Young is not Brian Cashman.
Well, I know.
Yeah, but we gotta keep the faith. Hope week. We gotta hope that Brian Cashman will make the right trade. They're not gonna sign a guy, they're gonna stick to their plan. But if we need starting pitching, if we need another arm, we gotta hope that Brian Cashman gets that done.
And let's get this kid Spencer up and ready to rock and roll. I tell you, I watched him a lot on Cape Cod a couple of summers ago in the Cape Cod League. He is legit. I mean, this kid is he's going to be something special.
Let him marinate. Let him marinate this
year. No. It's no, not. You see 21-year-old guys coming up and making it all the time. Let's go. Let's not waste a couple of these years. It could be amazing. Let this kid. This kid is a can't miss. He's going to rock and roll. Let's get this started ASAP. I am telling you. This kid, I've been watching him since he's 19. He's legit. He's ready.
Yeah, we know it. Thanks for the call, Rob. And Spencer Jones is 22. And if you ask me, the Yankees have made it so that we don't want to see Spencer Jones. He's going to start at AA. You have Alex Verdugo. You have Trent Grisham. You have Aaron Judge. You have Juan Soto. You have Jason Dominguez coming back. You have Giancarlo Stanton, who can play the outfield. You have Oswaldo Cabrera, who can play the outfield. If we see Spencer Jones too soon, it's probably not a good thing. 877-337-6666. We'll continue the conversations, man. Talking baseball. Good news about Gerrit Cole. If you haven't heard, just broke. John Heyman put it out there. Before we go to break, I will reiterate it again that Cole met with Dr. Neil Eletroch, and they've agreed with the Yankees doctors, right? There's something about that too, right? Had to go see this guy, not just listening to the Yankees doctors. And Cole came in this season talking about we need to stay healthy this year. And we all talk about how the Yankees have fumbled injuries from Judge, Rizzo, Nestor, Trevino last year. Domingo Herman had a lump in his armpit or something, whatever. Dr. Neil Eletroch has agreed with the Yankees team doctors that there's not a tear in Gerrit Cole's UCL and that he will not need surgery. So now we wait for him to heal, him to rest, him to ramp up and return. Let's go, Yanks. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Yeah. Positive energy on the Fan. Optimism. All of a sudden, things are looking up. I told you they would. I mean, Gerrit Cole's not going to miss the season. He doesn't need Tommy John surgery. Gerrit Cole's a dog. He's a workhorse. So he's going to apply that same mentality to his rehab, his rest, right? The article says the recommendation for Cole's right elbow is rest, rehab, and some conservative non-surgical treatments. Good. The season's not lost. These guys can survive through April, May, and then Cole be back in June. When school's out for the summer, 80 degrees in the boogie down, let's go! Luis Severino might be the ace of the Mets staff. Jose Quintana will take the ball on opening day. I know it's just spring training, but if you look at what the Mets rotation has done in spring training, they look pretty good. They've got the lowest ERA in all of baseball I saw, so things are looking up there as well. And it's still on the table for the Mets to sign a J.D. Martinez, a J.D. Davis. Maybe even a Michael Lorenzen on both sides. And in the football world, it's been a couple days, but I think the Giants fans have moved on, accepted it. Saquon Barkley is with the enemy. That's fine. He got paid. Good for him and his family. They said he put his daughter in Eagles clothes. Good for her. She's too young to really remember much from being a Giant. She'll grow up down there. And she'll be a multimillionaire with the Eagles. Happy for him and his family, man, and him and his wife being Penn State grads. And, yeah, good for Saquon. I think it's turned a corner. And now you're starting to look at John Runyon and Brian Burns and Illuminor and the motor, Devin Singletary, who's going to wear number 26 for the Giants. And Drew Locke, who we just found out, hey, he's not coming here to be nobody's backup. He's trying to compete for the starting spot. And if you actually think that the Giants want him to be the starter, I think you're a little confused at what's going on here with Shane and Brian Daboll. 877-337-6666. They're trying to draft their quarterback of the future. You know, we talked about a stopgap shortstop with the Yankees, and they chose IKF. And, well, Drew Locke might just be a stopgap quarterback in between Daniel Jones rehabbing, and then they're going to easily opt out of his contract next year and eat that $22 million dead cap money. And they're going to give the ball to whoever it is that they draft. And we've already heard that they are working feverishly to trade up in the draft. 877 877-337-6666 as we get back to the phones. Brian is in Paramus. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Love the show. Love listening to you. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks, man. I'm good. Now the Knicks game is on, and they're firing right away. Portland Trailblazers came out with their hair on fire a bit. But, yeah, you know, talking about the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, the Yanks, whatever you got.
Yeah, that's good to hear about the Knicks. I did want to touch a little bit about the Giants, their offseason. I like the direction that they're going. I love the pieces that they added. You know, that pass rush with Burns, that's going to be huge. I think that's going to help Deontay Banks and his development, you know, gives the quarterback a lot less time to throw the ball, especially with Dex, Tibbs, Burns, and then whoever we put next to Dex as a defensive tackle. I like Jordan Riley. I don't know if they want to get somebody else in the draft. I know we let A'shaun Robinson go, but I like the direction. Obviously, the one question we have right now is, you know, what we're going to do with the quarterback in the draft. Drew Lock's definitely not going to be the starter. He's a backup. Unless he proves that, you know, that under this system he can thrive, which, you know, anything's possible. But
I mean, if you draft a rookie quarterback, you don't want to force him in unless he forces your hand and just balls out in camp. And I've been on record saying you can't sell me that Daniel Jones is going to be healthy and ready to go by August 1st. My math says he's not going to be really healthy and ready to go until late September, maybe October. But what do I know? I'm not a doctor. I don't try to be. I think they are trying to draft maybe Jaden Daniels. I don't know.
I would love that. I honestly think I would love that. Obviously, any of those top three, if they were to fall, then, you know, I love Neighbors. I've always wanted to get, you know, like that premier number one pass catcher, you know, someone that, like, you know, if the quarterback is in trouble, or, you know, he can just, you know, kind of throw it up, and then, you know, 50% of the time they might be completed, you know? And yeah. I think that was
not
huge.
Not to cut you off, Brian, but a sneaky pickup is Isaiah McKenzie from the Bills, another guy that's familiar with Daboll and his system, the Bills pipeline coming to New York. And when you think about it, Jalen Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, and Isaiah McKenzie, I know those guys don't project to be what Malik Neighbors could be in the NFL. You have some guys that can make some plays at the receiver position now. It's a long cry from Richie James and Stills, Kenny Golladay.
True. Very true. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think that the quality of receivers are definitely much better. And now Wandale Robinson's had more time. He's developed. You can kind of see he can ball. I love when he gets the ball in his hand. He's shifty. He's quick. And in almost like his change of direction.
And he'll be another year removed from the ACL injury. So the cupboard is not bare. It is not like they have the roster that Daboll and Shane inherited 2 years ago, where we were looking at it like they don't have enough talent. They have some guys, and they have an opportunity here in the draft to add some more young guys. Maybe they get a quarterback. And maybe if they can't get a quarterback trading up, they take the best guy available on their draft board. And if they look at Malik Neighbors as the number two wide receiver in this draft, take him. Or take Roma Dunze.
Yeah, either one, honestly, would be – I think we would look scary. I think it gives, you know, defensive coordinators just one other, you know, aspect to really gameplay, you know, change the gameplay.
And if Brian Daboll is your head coach, and we saw what he got out of Tommy DeVito – we saw what he got out of Tyrod Taylor. You have to believe that he'll be able to get something out of Drew Lock or this rookie or whoever it is. I mean, Daniel Jones got paid based off of what he got out of him in that last year before they gave him the big contract. So you got to trust in Brian Daboll. He's doing it his way with his coaching staff, and Shane is doing it his way with the roster. It's time.
I agree. I'm a huge Daboll fan. I love what he's done. There's definitely a new life, a new energy with this team, and obviously Shane with his moves. Obviously, I wish Saquon Barkley was back. I thought he was a great asset. We all know this. I'm glad that, you know, he went and got his. He deserves it. He earned it. I just wish that we would have been in a situation to give him what he deserved. You know, he did what he did for us, and I'm more than grateful for him, you know, putting the team on his back for the past 6 years, really, behind a really suspect offensive line. And I just kind of wish that he was kind of there to reap the benefits of an improved offensive line. I know, I think his name is Brasillo, coming from Oakland, and I'm obviously, you know, projecting, hopefully, that he's able to, you know, coach these guys up and and you know we can actually have a formidable offensive line. And but I have faith in Singletary. I remember when he first came out, I thought he was a very good player. And I guess at the end of the day, I guess my question to you would be then, you know, if all three quarterbacks, top three quarterbacks, are taken at six, and we take the best, you know, player available at that, you know, at number six, I'm not a fan of taking J.J. McCarthy at six, to be honest.
But, yeah, no, I think that'd be a reach.
Would you?
That'd be like taking Daniel Jones six.
Yeah, right. Gotcha now. But would you go with a second round pick for the quarterback, or do you think that, you know, like someone like,
yeah,
you know, McCarthy,
if they do want to bring it,
will fall to the third.
Then I am sure
you wouldn't even wait till the third.
I am sure that Shane and Daboll know what quarterbacks they like and don't like. They both have been vocal. They both were at the combine, and Shane was vocal about how he's done more work on this draft than any of the other two drafts that he's been here for. And we saw him on the trail going to college universities when they were on the road this season. I think they have maybe three or four guys that they're like, yeah, we'd like to bring that guy in. And when those guys come off the board, they come off the board. There's also a scenario, and thank you for the call, Brian, and the compliments to start the call. There's also a scenario here where the Giants look at that number six pick and they say, well, we couldn't get into the top three. All the top three quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3. We have enough receivers. Let's trade back. And if they trade back and they get a later first round pick and they see who falls, and all of a sudden, I don't know, Michael Penix Jr. falls, or maybe J.J. McCarthy falls, and they want to use a later round pick, and then they have more picks and they can get another receiver. This is a deep class of receivers and tackles. They could take a tackle. I know there's a lot of people screaming, take Joe Alt. I don't know if Joe Alt is going to be there. I think at number five, the Chargers take him to protect their franchise quarterback that they just paid. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And that's why the draft is fun. And remember my words when I say the draft is a competition as well, right? Those teams are competing for these players. And some teams will pick up the phone. Some teams won't. And a lot of times it relies on the relationships that these guys have and don't have. And it's fun. You know, it's fun when we get there to see who finesses the draft, right? I already said I tipped my cap to the Eagles, how good they are at drafting. I mean, we got to start talking about what the Jets are going to do too. Tankathon has them taking Talies Fuanga from Oregon State. Maybe that's your tackle of the future. But also, I keep saying Rome Odunze because there's a lot of people that say, like, he is the second best receiver in this draft behind Marvin Harrison Jr. It's a foregone conclusion that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to the Cardinals. I mean, today we saw the Cardinals trade away Rondale Moore to the Falcons. I'm like, why would they do that? He's explosive. That's one of their guys. Like, he made plays last year. Well, the Cardinals traded away Rondale Moore to the Falcons for Desmond Ridder. What? Desmond Ridder, I don't see him as having any value. I didn't understand that trade at all. Jarvis, up in Harlem, back on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
You know, hanging out. Another 5 hour, bringing it home.
Yeah, just watching Dallas Mavericks and the Thunder right now.
I haven't checked out. Now I'm watching this Knicks game, but I got to get the NBA scores in front of me.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the New York Jets and, you know, like Woody Johnson been running this organization for like since 2000. And I know he's not a football guy, but, you know, he allowed like Rodgers just run the team, do whatever he wants to do. And then Aaron Rodgers talk about he's going to play in 3 or 4 years. First of all, Aaron Rodgers won't last in 3 or 4 years with the New York Jets. I mean, and everybody talk about like, our goal is making it to the Super Bowl 2004, but how about they focus on making the players win some games, make the players and win the playoff game? Because you got these AFC conference, we got seven quarterbacks that they got to compete with and try to get to the to the playoffs, which ain't gonna be easy because there's no easy way path for the New York Jets. So
yeah, it's all talk right now. 4 years of this Aaron Rodgers talk. Can you imagine us doing this all day, every day for 4 years? I don't see it.
Yeah, he won't. He might be retired. Then what? What they're just going to do? What?
Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor gets his chance to be a starter.
Yeah, yeah. Then what are you going to do? Draft another quarterback, which the Jets never develop quarterbacks the right way. They ruined Sam Darnold.
They're going to draft Isaac Wilson, Zach Wilson's brother coming out of Utah.
Right.
4 years.
Yeah, so, yes.
Thanks for the call, Jarvis. Jarvis and the Jets. You can count on Jarvis to call up and disparage the New York Jets. He's a former Jets fan that became a Packers fan. So he specifically wants to call and say something about Aaron Rodgers. I'll let it go down. I know it's coming. I don't mind it. If you guys want to call up and join the show, do that. 877-337-6666. I'll sprinkle in some more stuff we haven't talked about right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're listening to Keith McPherson on the Fan 101.9 FM. KM to AM, not done. Still got an hour and some change left. Let's sprinkle in a couple things that I haven't mentioned from my notes. Shout out to my boy Ben that helps me put together some notes. And I mean, all day I'm screenshotting tweets and Instagram posts and putting together different takes and thoughts and stuff that would be cool to talk about on the Fan for a 5-hour show. Let's see what we haven't touched on yet. Former Met Jared Kelenic. The Braves are planning to platoon him with Adam Duvall. I know Mets fans are probably thinking, oh, here he comes. This guy's going to hit homers against us, and we're going to have the whole narrative about, hey, this guy used to be a, they traded him for. You're going to see Jared Kelenic versus Edwin Diaz in Citi Field. Bank on it. Who else? Odell Beckham Jr., former New York Giant. Odell Beckham Jr. has been seen publicly with Kim Kardashian. Oh, no, that doesn't matter to us. He was released by the Ravens. And if you remember correctly, before he signed with the Ravens, we thought that he was going to sign with the Jets. Could there still be some interest there? No. You can't do it. Not now. You cannot add another clown to the circus. Who will sign Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't know. I do not know. What else happened in football? Joe Mixon. We all thought that Saquon might go to the Texans. Joe Mixon signs a 3-year, $27 million deal with the Houston Texans. They're going to be good, man. They're going to be scary. As Jarvis from Harlem was alluding to, it's going to be an uphill climb. There are some good teams. There are some good quarterbacks and some good teams in the AFC. It's not a guarantee that Aaron Rodgers just comes back and the Jets waltz into the playoffs. Don't even mention the Super Bowl. Anything else that I saw? Oh, yeah, I mentioned Devin White. Devin White signed that 1-year deal. The Eagles are loading up. I tip my cap to them because they just make the right moves and do different things that put them in position to win. And we'll see how it goes. The Bills signed wide receiver Curtis Samuel. I know that was a guy that potentially was on the radar for either the Jets or the Giants. 3 years, $24 million. Joey Bosa staying with the Chargers. And, I mean, the cap hits that the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh have to deal with. Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen. They released Mike Williams. Jets should be checking on Keenan Allen, honestly. He's still got it. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it from things I haven't mentioned. I'll keep looking as things pop up through the night and come up on my radar. I'll give you a little behind the scenes. I'm always looking at ESPN. I'm always looking at USAtoday.com. And I'm always looking at Twitter. And I got to check my phone because sometimes people will text me, yo, did you see this? Yo, I'm listening to your show. Did you talk about this? And we have the Knicks game right now. The Knicks have taken a lead. The Knicks are up in Portland, Oregon, 39-33. They should not lose to the Trailblazers. I don't expect them to. Coming up, my Casamigos' big shot of the night. It can't be one of the New York Knicks because we don't know who's going to have the best game yet. Stay tuned. 877-337-6666. Al is in Stamford, Connecticut on the Fan in New York.
Hey, I know you went over this a few times, but I think this Saquon Barkley thing is going to last the whole season because he's going to do well. I believe he's going to do well in Philly, and potentially they have the potential to go probably to the Super Bowl. They were on their way last year until the wheel fell off. I don't think the Giants are going to do. They're not going to do well. And I'm not a big believer in their coach and in their, what's his name, Sean. I'm not a big believer in.
Thanks for the call, Al. Well, you can't believe in somebody that you don't know their name or who they really are, right? Joe Shane? I don't know. I'll say this, right? If you're a Giants fan, you should be rooting against them all the way. And you shouldn't be in your head right now on March 14th thinking, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, they're going to be good. This thing's going to last. Yeah, it is going to last because you have to see them twice. No matter who is on the Eagles, you have to play them twice. What I've been saying to you is, let's see how Saquon wears it. So far, it looked cringy. It didn't look comfortable, and I didn't expect it to look comfortable the first day in enemy territory. First day shaking the hands of guys who have trash-talked you, tried to break your neck. And the way that you went out, and now you're sitting in front of Philadelphia media, and they're all wide-eyed with smiles, and you know it's wrong. You know it ain't right. But hey, it's a business. Keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing doesn't have an opportunity to be the main thing until months from now. It's going to be a long time, so we'll see. I know Saquon's been banged up almost every year. He's got to stay healthy. That's the first thing of the main thing. And it's football, man. Nobody knows what can happen, but the NFL script writers, they're just as undefeated as the league. This is another plot. This is something that you think the NFL is not going to lean into it? I already told you they did all day today. All day today, I'm like, why the hell am I getting Eagles posts on my Instagram? I'm like, oh, the NFL is posting this. The NFL is collabing with the Eagles to force this down our throats. I don't want to see Saquon Barkley with the Eagles. I don't want to see the Eagles at all. They are my least favorite team, maybe in all of sports. Well, the Astros. I don't want to see it. So I understand the game. I understand what the NFL is doing. The NFL is forcing this down our throats, and it's all a part of the plot and the storyline. Let's see how it works with the Eagles, because what I remember is I think they lost 5 out of their last 6 games. What I remember is they wanted to fire their head coach. What I remember is they lost to the Buccaneers in the playoffs. What I remember is Big Dom, their security guard, got a little too big for his britches. And then there was a story about how, oh, they needed him because he keeps Sirianni in check. What I remember is they have a rotation now, a revolving door of coaches the last 2 years since they've been to that Super Bowl, which they lost. All is not well because they signed Saquon Barkley. 877-337-6666. Football has so many moving parts. Let's see if they're almighty. Let's see if Jalen Hurts. I know I said this the other night, and I got some pushback on it online. Jalen Hurts has not convinced me that he is worth the contract that he has. Let me rewind. 2 years ago, he had an MVP-type season. I am not impressed with his tush-push season this past year, breaking Cam Newton's rushing record for rushing title for touchdowns. I'm not. Sometimes I'm not sure how well he throws the ball. Sometimes I'm not sure about his decision-making. And when you got a guy like A.J. Brown in your ear, who's throwing a fussy fight tantrum every game about his targets and what he wants. You've got Devontae Smith selling, dropping passes. They got a lot to come together. Didn't Fletcher Cox retire? Didn't Jason Kelce just retire and say, oh, man, I want to come back now. Well, come back then. Come back, old man, because once you're retired and you're 1 foot out, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We love the NFL, and I like all of these plots, and I like the NFL script writer saying, okay, well, Saquon never had an offensive line, really didn't have that many other weapons. Now let's put him behind one of the best offensive lines in the league with weapons all around him. Let's see how they gel. Let's see how he plays. Let's see how he plays on that field down there in Lincoln Financial versus the turf at MetLife. Let's see how he wears that Eagle green, man. I just think it's going to be a little tough for him. KD made it cool to do the can't beat him, join him. KD made it cool for you to just go to your rival and join a team that didn't need you, that was already successful without you, bring your talents to a team that won without you. Let's see if Saquon is built like that to wear it. It's heavy on you. You could tell it's already heavy on him, the way he snapped back and tried to clap back at Tiki online. It was weird. We didn't need that. He could have taken the high road, but in this weird time of people not being able to draw a line between reality and the internet, he felt like he had to do that. Tiki didn't tweet at you. Tiki did his regular job radio show here at The Fan and said something that he said last Thursday. You didn't say anything last Thursday. And then today, oh, yeah, you know, I got nothing but love for those guys. Yeah, you should, because clearly they're hurt. But there's a thin line between love and hate. They hate you now. You're with the enemy. You're with the team that they despise. They're wishing you no luck. And that's going to be weird when you come back to MetLife Stadium. That's going to be weird as you're wearing that green jersey. Let's see how you like being the villain. Let's see if you're like that. You seem like a good guy. Let's see if you can embrace the villain role, Saquon Barkley. 877-337-6666. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night, and I'm flying through the calls because it's my last hour, open mic hour. If there's something in sports that we haven't talked about that you want to bring to the table, feel free. If there's a question that you want to ask me about something a little bit outside of sports, I'll humor you as well. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on The Fan. We'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.